My name is Casey Kang Head, and I am a trauma-informed cancer coach.
So what inspired you to become a coach?
My own journey. I'm a three-time survivor of acute lymphoblastic leukemia. And I got done with basically fighting for almost 5 years straight and expecting to have services and help to recover and get my life back, and there was nothing. So I felt like I had a mountain to climb, and the way I had felt afterward, I just knew in my heart and my soul, like, that's why I'm here. And so I have to bring what I've done for myself to get back to a better place to others.
Yeah, can you tell me about your cancer journey?
Yeah, so I was diagnosed at 31, and it felt like it out of nowhere. In hindsight, there were a lot of things going wrong that I was attributing to work and stress and life that clearly I was ignoring. And so I went in, the protocol that I was put on was 18 months long. And 4 months into my treatment, I had a stroke, which left me temporarily paralyzed on my left side. So amongst trying to recover from a stroke, I was still getting chemotherapy because I wasn't in remission yet. And so that was probably the most humbling part, is having to rely and depend on everyone around you for literally everything. A place that I knew at some point I'd get to, but I was hoping it'd be like, you know, 90 plus years old. And so fast forward to 18 months, I finished treatment, and I was really overwhelmed with everything, but I had already gone back to work because I just wanted some quote-unquote normalcy in my life. And 7 weeks later, I relapsed the first time. And they just kept telling me, your cancer is really aggressive. And so we tried an immunotherapy that failed. We tried the immunotherapy because they said my body is no longer responding to chemotherapy. So it was basically off the table. So we tried an immunotherapy, it failed. It sent me into a cytokine release storm, which is basically when your body tries to kill itself from the inside out. And somehow made it through that. And then they said, well, there's a clinical trial, and that's like all we have as your option. So I was like, okay. So I did all the testing for the clinical trial, and a week before I was supposed to start, it got shut down. So then, I know. So then we're like, okay, my husband and I at the time were like, what's next? What's the next option? They're like, well, we don't have one. Basically, there's another clinical trial going on at another hospital. It was the only other one. They're like, it's full. And even if you are eventually get to the front of the line, it doesn't mean that you'll qualify for the trial. And there's no line skipping. So you just have to wait. And I was like, this is a terrible plan. Like a month went by of just waiting, and finally, my doctors, I was still in the hospital, my doctors came to me and said, do you want to try this? The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society conference for doctors just ended, and it was an experimental immunotherapy, not for my cancer, and they're like, do you want to try this? And it was 2 pages, 114 participants, and the outcomes were not good. And I was like looking at this, and I'm like, this is not the data from this small study and sample you're giving me doesn't give me a lot of hope. And so there was a lot of contemplation, my husband and I back and forth. And I just eventually made the decision, and I was like, you know, this might not help me. I go, but it might help someone else. So like, why not? I don't have a lot of other options right now. So we had to write a letter of compassion to the FDA and to the drug manufacturer just to get access to the drug. So we waited. I was approved, thankfully. I did 4 rounds of that. I got into remission because then I could have a stem cell transplant. My brother is my donor. And I was recovering from that, and 6 months later, I relapsed again. And I was not prepared. I was not ready. And I literally didn't want to keep going. I told my husband at the time, I go, I'm done. I go, I don't have it in me. I'm so tired. I'm so exhausted. I go, I can't keep doing this. And he goes, whatever you decide is what we're going to decide. And I started crying. And the first thought that popped into my head was, your dad would be so disappointed. I was like, oh my God, that guy. Like, of course that guy pops into my head, because he and my husband at the time were the two driving factors that got me through everything. And I said, okay, fine. And this is where I made my deal with the universe. I was like, one more time. I go, I will do this one more time. I go, but we're done. I go, you're either going to kill me or you're going to let me live. Because I don't care at this point if I live or die, but everyone else around me does. So this is for them. I don't even care. And so I looked up back at my husband. I said, okay, one more time, but that's it. He goes, okay. So we did another round of immunotherapy, four more rounds. And then we were supposed to go to stem cell transplant again. And they were like, we're just going to wait. And I was like, this is a terrible plan. It's like the worst thing you could tell a cancer survivors. We're just going to wait and see what happens. And so we waited. And this 6 years later, I'm alive. So that's the short story.
And it's that's so amazing.
Yeah. It's quite crazy.
How does helping others help your healing process?
It's really about giving back. It's the reciprocity of life and learning. And, you know, I had a lot of challenges and struggles that I wish I weren't alone in. And I wish I had one person to talk to, right? No one around me could relate. Yeah. You know, my cancer was so rare, and at an age that was so rare, that I didn't really have I don't really have anyone to talk to, really. And so it felt like my duty to give back. It felt like this is the reason why I'm alive. Like, it didn't make sense to go back to work again, and it didn't make sense to do all these other things that didn't matter. But I was like, I want to help that one person that feels the way that I did when I got done with treatment, and they were just like, go live life. And I was like, I don't know how to do that. I literally don't know how to do that.
You said earlier about your brother. What does he mean to you?
I mean, he is, obviously he gave me life. So I'm forever grateful to him. He means a lot, and he always has. I don't think I share that with him enough, to be honest. He's always been smarter than me, and just, I don't know, like, there's words don't even capture the way I feel about him. Even though, you know, we fought like cats and dogs as children, like siblings often do. There's just a different level of respect that I have for him. And the generosity that he gave me.
So what are some of the things you do with your organization?
So I help cancer survivors and fighters in recovery and processing the trauma. So it's physical, mental, and emotional recovery in every form and fashion, through community, through a 13-week coaching program, one-on-one. And it is really about trying to get back the life that you once had.
What is it like getting to know the people you're working with?
I feel like it's the greatest gift, because they're some of the best people in the entire world, that sadly something this catastrophic had to bring us together, but they are beyond amazing.
What do you do now to help your mental health?
Oh my gosh, there are so many things. I meditate, I exercise, I journal. I I definitely make sure to have a community where I'm at physically, not just my community with cancer, because that's really important too, is to have somebody that gets it, but also like a community in real life that I can just go and be like not a cancer coach, not Casey who shows up here with you, just like Casey who just listens and is a good friend. And that's, I think those are the best mental health things that I have done for myself. I also limit a lot of like screen time and social media, and that has made a huge difference.
You talked earlier about, just relatability, your story. Have you seen people's confidence level rise as they go through this fight by talking to you?
Yes, it's giving people hope and being able to see like even in the depths of despair at your absolute worst, that there's hope that it can get better and will get better, and that can make the difference in anybody's life.
Yeah, how does it feel for you to be going to get past all this trauma?
It was a lot of work, to be honest. It was not always sunshine and rainbows. There was a lot of, why am I doing this? This is really hard. Is this worth it? In the moment where you feel it, like feel the heaviness and the weight. And I will say it's been transformative for me to be able to release the trauma and like I've had experiences where physical pain has left my body. Like unexplained physical pain. I've had better sleep. My relationships are better. I'm able to communicate better. I'm able to just show up and be a better human, to be honest, to the world, despite somebody even being mean to me for no reason. And I think that's the power that healing can give you.
What would you say to anyone going through a similar fight?
That you need people around you to help you. Like, we think we can do it on our own, and we can do it on our own, but it's so much easier when you're not doing it on your own.
Where do you want to see your mission, say, in the next 3 to 5 years?
I have really big plans. I would love to start doing in-person things like COVID kind of, that was always the dream, but then COVID happened and kind of put up a huge pause button on that, because I think just community is so important. I would love to be able to grow and help even more women and people in general. I mean, the long, big, huge, audacious goal is to have some sort of recovery program in every hospital, but it's just that's a huge mountain.
How can people reach out to you and learn more?
They can always reach out to me on Instagram or Facebook. I'm at The Happier Hustle. I'm on YouTube, I'm on LinkedIn, I'm on all the things except for TikTok. But yeah, you're always going to talk to me, and so I love connecting. And even if you've just listened and say like thanks for sharing, like I love that.
How did you come up with the name?
The name is a combination of a couple things. So my grandmother, she is a Japanese internment camp survivor, and my entire life she never talked about it. I'm not kidding. Like, she's a lockbox of information. She would always say, "Go be happy." And I was like, I don't know what that means, Grandma. Like, always. And then after I went through cancer, I was like, Grandma, I finally get it. I finally understand what you're saying. Like, live your life the way you that makes you happy. Because I was checking boxes of life and I wasn't happy. And so that's where the happier comes from. And the hustle part is, I was really into Brené Brown at the time, and she has a quote famously about you either own your story or you hustle for your worth, something along those lines. And so I was like, oh, I was hustling for my worth. And so I just put it together because it's like, we don't have to live by societal rules any if we don't want to, despite the programming that we're given and and the messages that are ingrained in us as children.